Welcome to Castlefields Church Online. We're glad you can join us. Today, many people are searching for something reliable and sure, something we can put all our weight on. That's what the Bible gives us. In the Bible, there's a letter written by Peter, a leader in the early church, to some fragile Christians. Peter reminded them what God had promised about Jesus through the prophet Isaiah, centuries before he was born. Here's something that we can trust in all circumstances, 1 Peter 2 verse 6. For it stands in Scripture. Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Now let's pray. O God, our Father in heaven, thank you for the Bible. Thank you that what you have spoken there is absolutely sure. Thank you for sending the Lord Jesus down from heaven to earth as you promised. Thank you that he died for our sins on the cross, so that whatever happens to us, we know you love us and will take us to be with you forever. We praise you for telling us these things in your word and giving us your Holy Spirit to open our eyes to these wonderful truths. Help us to appreciate these things more. We want to grow in our understanding of you. We pray that we will learn to honour you more and be a greater blessing to others. In this time of special need, we pray for wisdom for our government and all those who have responsibility or are doing essential work. We pray for those caring for the sick, that you will give them strength and success. Remember those in other countries too who are suffering. We pray especially for Christians who are facing threats or are in prison for their faith. That you would help them to persevere and to be strong in you. Thank you that you see us wherever we are and understand everything about us. We bring our prayers to you, not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Let's read from the Bible, God's Word, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 to 24. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure what was commanded, and if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. In a few moments, we're going to be thinking about that part of God's word. But before that, perhaps you'd like to pause the recording and sing a hymn. Sometimes, even as Christians, we can feel that everything is against us. Is that you this evening? Is life a struggle? Perhaps your family don't understand your faith and make life hard for you. It could be a long-term illness, relationship problems, or loneliness. Are you facing personal crisis? Sickness in your family, bereavement, losing your job as your industry gets trashed by COVID-19. Perhaps your plans for study or work have been blown out of the water. You can't play football with your friends, your holidays cancelled, you're missing your children or grandchildren. Maybe things are actually going fairly well for you at present. How can you encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering? How would you react if things took a turn for the worse, if your nightmares suddenly became reality? Some of the Christians this letter was written to had lost livelihoods and possessions because they believed in Jesus. More suffering was around the corner. How does the writer encourage them? By pointing out how blessed they are through Jesus. Despite their sufferings, they are actually in a very good place. In Hebrews 12, verses 18 to 24, the writer is starting to conclude his letter. If Hebrews were a piece of music, this would be the grand finale. He weaves the letter's key themes into a great crescendo. To help him, the writer talks about two famous but very different mountains. The first point he emphasizes to struggling Christians is this, verses 18 to 21. You've not come to Mount Sinai. When God came down on Mount Sinai, it was a fearful thing. See Exodus 19 and Deuteronomy 5. That morning, as the Israelites looked from their camp towards the mountain, they were terrified. It was dark and threatening, with storm clouds, howling winds, lightning, crashes of thunder. A loud trumpet summoned them towards this dreadful mountain. Yet to go onto it or touch it would mean certain death. Even Moses, their leader, was terrified. A huge plume of smoke rose up as God came down in fire. Great earthquakes shook the mountain. You can imagine giant rocks crashing down the slopes. Over all this came the sound of a trumpet, louder and louder. And then a voice. That was most terrifying of all. When God spoke to them directly, the people couldn't bear it. They thought they were going to die. God told Moses to go up the mountain to meet him. The first thing God said to Moses after he had climbed the shaking slopes of Sinai was, "Go back down and warn the people not to come near." The message to everyone was, "Stay away. Don't go near or you will die." You've not come to Mount Sinai, says the writer of this letter to the Hebrew Christians. His second point is this, verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion. You aren't standing near a terrifying mountain with its fearful sights and deafening sounds. Instead, you've come to a beautiful and peaceful mountain, Mount Zion, a mountain that is yours to enjoy forever, a mountain not of darkness and death, but of light and life. Mount Zion is a famous Old Testament place. It was a fortress captured by King David, 2 Samuel 5 verse 7, and it became his capital, the city of David, Jerusalem. Later on, Mount Zion came to include Mount Moriah, where the temple was built, and the whole expanded city of Jerusalem. It was known as God's dwelling place. On feast days, people would go up to Mount Zion to worship. Here in verses 22 to 24, the writer explains what Mount Zion means for New Covenant believers, for Christians. You can notice the word "and" repeatedly in this section. It translates a little Greek connecting word, kai. One way this word can be used is to link a general idea with the things contained in it. That's what's happening here. Mount Zion is the main idea. The "ands" connect Mount Zion with specific things it includes. We can get the sense if we replace "and" with "that is." You have come to Mount Zion, that is, to the city of the living God. There are in fact seven of these "ands" in the Greek text of verses 22 to 24. The seven "ands" mark out a list of seven wonderful things that Mount Zion includes. Not all the "ands" are explicitly translated in the New King James Version, but they are in the English Standard Version. So let me read these verses in the ESV, verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, and, or that is, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You Hebrew Christians are in a far better place than at Mount Sinai, the writer is saying. You have come to Mount Zion. If you realize how good this place is, you won't want to leave it to go anywhere else. You certainly won't want to go back to Mount Sinai. So what does coming to Mount Zion mean? Let's consider the list of seven things Mount Zion includes. We'll do it in three chunks so we can remember them more easily. Coming to Mount Zion means, firstly, joining a beautiful community. Verse 22 again. But you have come to Mount Zion and, or that is, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So what is this mountain? It's the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Mount Zion is a community where God lives among his people, a city which belongs to him and is protected by him. Another name for this city is the heavenly Jerusalem. We mustn't confuse it with the old city of Jerusalem, which when this letter was written still had a temple with Jewish priests offering sacrifices. No, this is something far greater. It's the city whose builder and maker is God, if you look back to chapter 11, verse 10. It's the new Jerusalem pictured in Revelation 21, verse 2, coming down out of heaven from God. What else does Mount Zion include? And to innumerable angels in festal gathering. A countless number of angels celebrating God's holiness, his power, his love, his justice. You can read about them in Revelation, how they surround God's throne with praise, Revelation 5, verse 11. What else? And to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. That word assembly in the ESV or church in the New King James translates the Greek word ekklesia, ecclesia. This word was familiar to the Hebrew Christians. Why? It's because this word was used in their Greek translation of the Old Testament for the congregation or assembly of the children of Israel. Those who believe in Jesus belong to a far greater gathering than the people of Israel with Moses in the desert. It's the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled or registered in heaven. This gathering includes all children of God from the past and present, including us if we've believed in Jesus. All these people have firstborn son status. A rich inheritance is ours as children of the King. We are registered in heaven, citizens of a heavenly country, recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 21, 27, born again into God's kingdom. Psalm 87 speaks about Zion. Psalm 87, verse 5. Of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself shall establish her. The Lord will record when he registers the peoples, this one was born there. Do you see what the writer of this letter is saying? Zion is where you belong as Christians. This is what you've come to. Realize how blessed you are. You who are trusting in Jesus, you are members of a beautiful community, citizens of the kingdom of heaven, firstborn sons of the living God. We don't see the full reality with our physical eyes, but that doesn't make it any less real. For now, we live by faith. This is the reality God has told us about and we have believed. It's the city which has foundations that Abraham looked forward to, Hebrews 11 verse 10 again. This is our guaranteed future as Christians, but it has begun now. Already we have come to Mount Zion. The kingdom of God is here now, spiritually. One day it will be present more fully and physically when the new Jerusalem comes down out of a new heaven to a new earth, Revelation 21 verse 2. Our small gatherings as individual churches today are foretastes of the joy to come when all believers from every nation and every age unite in worship around God's throne. Coming to Mount Zion means joining a beautiful community. Secondly, coming to Mount Zion means coming to a friendly God, verse 23, and to God, the judge of all. Mount Zion is a community centered on God. Coming to Mount Zion means coming to God himself, to God, the judge of all, not with terror, but delight. To us who have believed in Jesus, although God is our judge, he has become our friend. And to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Mount Zion includes the people in heaven now, the righteous or just ones, who've now been made perfect. These are people who died in faith, believing in God's Messiah, trusting his promises, whose spirits are now in heaven. People from the Old Testament times and now New Testament times too, all the way down to the 21st century. All the sufferings and sins of this life are behind them. As they surround the throne of the righteous judge, they enjoy God's presence. They are in harmony with his holiness, fully at home with him. That's what we have come to as Christians. It's our future too. We belong to the same beautiful community of Mount Zion. If we die before Jesus comes again, our spirits will join theirs. If he comes back before we die, they will join us in the resurrection, when together we will welcome Jesus to the new earth, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. We have come by faith to a friendly God. We're not like the trembling Israelites who received the message, "Stay away." We've been given access with joy into God's presence itself. God, the judge, looks at us and says, "Not guilty." His verdict on us is this, "Righteous ones." There's no sin he or anyone else can charge us with. Our record is 100% clean. How can this be? Well, here's the reason. If we have come to Mount Zion, we have come finally to a perfect mediator, verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Jesus has the key that opens the door for us into the beautiful community of Mount Zion, into the presence of a friendly God. What is this key? Verse 24 again. And to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Here's how we come in, how we can approach God with joy, not terror. Jesus is our mediator. What's a mediator? A mediator is a go-between, or someone who stands between enemies to make them friends. That's what Jesus did when he died on the cross. He stood between us and God, our judge. On the cross, Jesus took the full force of God's punishment for our sins. He turned God's righteous anger away from us so that God is now our friend. It's what the Bible calls propitiation, Romans 3 verse 25. Abel was the first person in history to be murdered. We're told, Genesis 4 verse 10, that Abel's blood cried out to God from the ground. What did Abel's blood cry out for? Vengeance. Justice from God. Jesus was murdered too. But what does Jesus' blood cry out? Father, forgive them. Jesus suffered for the sins of everyone who trusts in him. Jesus' blood says to God, I have paid the penalty for their sin. Welcome them as you welcome me. It's the blood of Jesus that makes us clean, fit to worship God in the beauty of holiness together with all his people. Moses was mediator of the old covenant given at Mount Sinai. He said to the Israelites, Deuteronomy 5:5, I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord. But when Moses approached God, he trembled. Why? Because Moses, like us, was a sinner. Jesus is the perfect mediator, the mediator of the new covenant that brings life. Jesus knows what pleases his Father. He has provided it himself and given it to us. Jesus is the perfect Son of God. He has no terror approaching his Father, only delight. The Hebrew Christians were being tempted to abandon Jesus and rely on Moses. They needed reminding that they were new covenant believers. The old covenant at Sinai could only bring death. It's the new covenant that brings life, 2 Corinthians 3 verses 4 to 18. It's no use going back to the old covenant when the new has arrived. In God's mercy, under the old covenant, Animal sacrifices served as temporary signposts pointing forward to Jesus. But now, Jesus has come. He's the real sacrifice. From Jesus, there can be no going back. The priests in Jerusalem thought that they could make themselves good enough for God by keeping God's laws. It was a vain hope. Going to Sinai for righteousness is a path of never-ending slavery. That's what Paul teaches in Galatians 4, verses 21 to 31. The righteousness that makes us accepted by God isn't found at Mount Sinai. If we turn away from Jesus and trust in Moses, all we have left is terror. Righteousness can't come to us through keeping God's law, but only through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Perhaps there's someone listening and you haven't yet trusted in Jesus to save you from your sins. Mount Zion isn't your home. You are still condemned by the law God gave at Mount Sinai. That's how we all are to begin with. We've all broken the Ten Commandments. We haven't loved God with all our heart. We've abused his kindness and worshipped other things. We've put ourselves on the throne of our lives instead of God. We've disobeyed our parents, told lies, cheated. We've coveted things that belong to other people. Do you want to be forgiven? Do you want the blessings of Mount Zion? They will be yours if you believe in the Lord Jesus. He is able and willing to give you a new life. You have to let go of the things you've been clinging to and trust in him as your mediator. It's no good relying on anything you do, trying to be good, following religious traditions. You can't be good enough for God that way. Only Jesus can let you into the beautiful community of Mount Zion. Only Jesus can make God, the judge of all, your friend. Will you ask him to do that today? Dear fellow Christians, do you feel downhearted, discouraged by the difficulties you face? Look up. See what blessings you have in Christ. You've come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the New Jerusalem. Think on this passage. Read Ephesians chapters 1 and 2. In Christ, you're already sitting in heavenly places. Alongside you are brothers and sisters from all over the world who belong to the same beautiful community. Sometimes as Christians, it's realizing our own sin that tempts us to despair. Satan, our accuser, wants to take away our joy. He wants us to think we're still under God's condemnation. We need to remember that our hope doesn't come from Sinai. We mustn't seek God's favour through the law. It's not to Moses, but to Jesus we must go. As the Apostle John said, John 1 verse 17, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we'll pray, and after that you may like to sing again. O Lord our God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this letter written to struggling Christians and preserved for us in the Bible. Thank you that it's as relevant and powerful as ever. We praise you for all you've done for us as Christians. Help us to appreciate how blessed we are in Christ. Help us not to be dominated by tough circumstances, but to grow in our faith and to be filled with joy and hope in you. We've experienced so much kindness from you already. Many of us know that you've forgiven us all our sins. Every day is a gift from you. You've given us your sure promises of future blessings which are beyond our imagination. Help us to keep all these things in our minds. Thank you that when we feel like we're losing our grip on you, you never lose your firm hold on us. Forgive us that sometimes we imagine we can make ourselves acceptable to you by keeping your law. We realize this is a complete dead end. Help us instead to receive by faith what Jesus has done for us, to realize that you welcome us because of him. May we not trust in anything or anyone else. May you open the hearts of more and more people to believe in Jesus, that they too may know you and receive these blessings for themselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.